SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're answering your tax questions tonight with the filing deadline just a day away. My guest is Teddy the Tax Man, Teddy Prelo. He's an enrolled agent for more than 35 years. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ms. Michael calling from Calvert County. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I was calling. I'm back late paying my tax, but the deadline is tomorrow, and I've never been late. It's just that I just financial-wise, you know, I didn't have a lot of work to pay anybody, but is it a fine they'll charge me if I'm like pay like next week?
They will assess a penalty, and it might be a little bit of interest, but talk to your tax advisor about filing, and you might want to write this down, filing form number 843. That's form number 843. That is a request for the IRS to abate any kind of penalties that you have going on. That's form number 843. Let me tell you something, Ms. Michael. That is one of the best kept secrets, or worst kept, however you want to look at it, that there is out there in your Internal Revenue Service arsenal. Use that form 843, put the appropriate information on it. In fact, I highly recommend that you talk to your tax advisor about that and see if you can get those penalties abated.
Why would the IRS abate those penalties?
Yeah, they're not all bad. If you do that form 843, generally speaking, they will allow that once in your lifetime. So even if you've got, and we have many, many listeners out there who haven't filed for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and maybe they will file now, and maybe they'll owe $3,000, $2,500 of which might be penalties. This might be your opportunity to file that form 843 and get those penalties reduced. I'm telling you. I'm asking you, rather, what have you got to lose by following it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is the first time I ever did that. I always have my taxes done right in January. As soon as I get my W-2 form, they're done just like that. And it's the first time I ever did that. But like I said, it was just so much going on, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, that's what I do. So I got it all written down.
Well, Ms. Michael, thank you so much for your phone call, and good luck. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Karen calling from Mount Rainier. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Karen, are you there?
Hi. Yes. Hi. This is Karen. I just went and got my taxes done today. I am normally very early. I do my taxes at least as soon as I get my W-2 form. And this year I didn't have my ID, and I'm wondering, why doesn't the government put in, especially on doing it online, why can't I use my federal government ID? I mean, the IRS comes down on federal government employees about doing taxes. Why can't you use your federal government ID, your U.S. government ID? They always require either driver's license for D.C. or Maryland or Virginia, or, you know, a D.C. ID. Why can't you use your federal government ID?
You mean as opposed to using your Social Security number?
I'm sorry?
You mean as opposed to using your Social Security number?
No, my Social Security number's in there. I've been filing since I've had a job. I've been using H&R Block every year, and you can't use a work ID. I've been working for the federal government for like 22 years.
Oh, so you're talking about when you submit it.
They ask for ID.
Okay.
They need to incorporate that in the system when they say, okay, ID.
Okay.
They have to click on something.
Yeah.
And they don't have federal government ID in there.
Let's see what
ID.
Teddy has to say about that. Teddy, go right ahead.
Yeah. She has a great point.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, why not allow exactly what she's talking about? I understand that, and this is what you need to do. I just don't think they've gotten to that point yet, or maybe somebody in the background has said, you know, this is why we will not allow that, and they've laid it out. But I think it's up to us. It's up to you to go to them and say, look, I believe that you should allow us to use this to identify ourselves so that we can properly process this tax return. I really do believe it's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to anybody out there who wants that to happen.
But hold on, I'm a little confused here, Karen. You want to use your federal ID as a federal employee as opposed to using your driver's license?
Well, I don't have a driver's. I haven't had a driver since my daughter Whitney was born, and that was in 97.
Why don't you just get an age of majority card?
I'm sorry?
Get an age of majority card.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
That is, it's a driver's license without a driver's license. It looks like it. It does the same thing. You just can't drive with it.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, it's like an ID, but I lost my ID a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
And so I have my federal government ID, which I don't use it on the weekends.
Right.
I leave it home. So why can't we use our government ID to do our taxes with?
Well, suffice it to say,
it has the same type of information on it. It has the expiration date.
But hold, but
it has a number.
But because they said so. I mean that's the reality of it. And that literally would take an act of Congress, you know, in changing the regulations, or at least the IRS changing those regulations. But until such time, you know, I would recommend just going to the DMV. You're a Maryland resident, going to the DMV and saying, I need an age of majority card, and paying whatever fee it is, probably not a whole lot. It looks just like a driver's license, and just smile and you're good to go.
Okay. Thank
All right.
you very much. I appreciate that.
You're quite Thanks, welcome. Guys. All righty. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Talking about your taxes tonight. If you have any tax questions or comments, Teddy the Tax Man is here with all of the information. Let's talk to Lisa calling from Northeast D.C. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good evening to both of you all.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling because I have a concern for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a person who prepared our taxes, and he turned 62 and was told that he can get his taxes done free.
Right.
Every time he went somewhere, he was turned away. He hasn't got the taxes filed yet, and I was concerned if he doesn't have them filed by the deadline, what would happen, and is there something that he can do?
Okay, I'll address the last question first. Is there something he can do? You might have to end up paying a tax professional, but let's go to the next last question. Why are they turning him away? I'd be willing to bet you that the age of 62 is just one criterion. If he's got income, fairly substantial income, I don't know a place out there that is going to do it for free.
He can get them done for free at libraries and things.
Go ahead and say that, Lisa.
He was told that he can get his taxes done at libraries, and every time he went, you know, they were saying, okay, we're going to take X amount of people, and by the time they got to him, the line was cut off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I am very concerned because he's the type of person who would have his taxes done very early. You know, the deadline is here, and he still hasn't gotten them done, and I am concerned.
Lisa, generally, does he get a refund?
Yes, he does.
If he is getting a refund, the deadline is not going to be an issue for him. And this is for all our other listeners out there. If you know that you are due a refund, tomorrow's deadline is not going to harm you in any way, shape or form. Now, yeah, I mean, like you, I would want my refund as soon as possible. But if you're in a pinch and you cannot have it filed by the deadline and you are due a refund, you're not going to get penalized.
Yeah.
So I hope that that gives you some level of comfort, Lisa.
It does. That's why I just hung on in here until I was able to get through I was very concerned, you know, for him.
And the other thing, too, Lisa, is even if he did owe, if he misses the deadline, there's a process. He's not going to have to worry about, you know, the men in black showing up at his front door.
Yeah.
And taking him away.
Okay.
But certainly it's good that you and hopefully he are so conscientious that you want to make sure you get it done.
And Harold, let me leave this one last tip for Lisa and many, many of our listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, next year, maybe you and he should consider filing a joint tax return. Now, we don't want to get into the personals and things like that over the phone, but you might consider filing a joint return for the two of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm writing as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So that when he comes in, I can give him this information and maybe take some stress off.
Do you usually file separately?
No.
Okay. So you're just saying that when you say his tax returns, you are talking about yours and his.
Well, I'm included on his.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because you were saying you were worried about him filing his tax returns, but you are married filing jointly?
Yes.
Okay.
Jointly.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear
that up.
Oh, that's all right. Well, Lisa, good luck. And thank you so much.
Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Absolutely. 202-319-7810.
202-319-7810. Talking about your taxes tonight. April calling from Alexandria, Virginia. April, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I was calling in regards to trying to get a tax strategy in regards to a marital or, Lisa, say, a filing status. My concern is next year my spouse and I would like to file separately. And I wanted to know, are there options for how he and I can file separately as far as he files married filing separately and I file head of household, considering that we have two children and I currently have the child care deduction or the dependent care spending account coming out of my monthly paycheck of the max of $5,000. And then I also do the healthcare spending account. And I know that based on our income, there are, I guess it reaches a status where a part of our income would cause it to phase out, or perhaps it would be an issue with our income not allowing us to take the max of $5,000 or me to take the max of $5,000. So in short, is there an option where we can file two different filing statuses, head of household and married filing separately, and still get the max out of deduction?
When my response begins with the word unfortunately. Okay, so you know where I'm going. April, here is the situation. If the two of you live together at any point past June 30th, neither one of you can file head of household. Bottom line, and there are many, many ways. You've heard that before, but you've heard it in a different way. Let me say this. You two could not have lived together any time past June 30th. Why June 30th? Because it represents more than half the year.
Yeah.
So if the two of you are cohabitating in October, neither one of you can file as head of household. That's the law. I know what you're going to hear on the streets. I know that, April, but that's the law. I always recommend if you and your spouse are, and I always use the term civil, and that even sounds harsh, but if you two are civil and you can file a joint tax return, file the joint tax return. Because I heard you mention the flexible spending account. Guess what? That's going to go to waste. The child care credit, that's going to go to waste. The tuition credit, that's going to go to waste if you're married filing a separate return. Now, true enough, it might phase out if your income is too high anyway. But not all of those credits will. You would still get the child care. The flexible spending account will still do you some good. So, in short, is that all possible? If there's a fairly decent relationship between the two of you, file that joint tax return, and then make plans for the ensuing years as to how you're going to do that. And I can guarantee you, April, you're not going to be able to do that without a tax professional.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, April,
thank
good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
I appreciate that.
Take care now.
Good night.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about your money, your taxes. We're going to talk to Lily after the break. We're also going to talk about audits. How do you know? Do you get a letter? Do you get a phone call? Do the men in black show up at your front door? We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your money, your taxes. One more day until the deadline. If you're not done, we have some advice for you. And if you don't finish, we still have lots of tips for you. Let's go to Lily. Lily calling from Fredericksburg. Lily, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, yes. My husband and I purchased a medical therapeutic piece of equipment that can go on the medical expenses. I looked through the system that I'm using, and it tells me that I could claim it. But what I'd like to do is to claim it more as it depreciates rather than claim it in a lump sum. Is that possible?
And that's no, ma'am. Unfortunately, that is going to be a tax-deductible item that has to be deducted in the year of purchase. The only way you will be able to depreciate that is if you had a business and you were using that piece of equipment in the business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and remember, your medical deductions need, if you are under 65, those medical deductions need to be more than 10% of your adjusted gross income now. That law changed a couple years or so ago. Tough, isn't it?
Yes, because when I put it in, it was just enough to take me from the red to the green.
Yeah, wow.
Which is a good thing, of course.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to pretty much just kind of break even. I didn't, and was wondering if I could depreciate over time. But what you mentioned there about the business, that kind of touches another subject of my rental property. They were saying that because I'm doing a passive and it's rented below the market value, I need to move it out of the rental and royalties, and it's going to instruct me on how to get it into another, I guess, to claim those charges in another area.
I know of nowhere on that tax return where you can do that. If you are renting out, for instance, a home, if you're renting out the, you know, your town home, that income goes on the Schedule E. The expenses such as the property taxes, mortgage interest, and that piece of equipment, if you're going to use it in the rental property, all of that would go on that Schedule E. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Yes, there are royalties. If you're an author and you get royalties, yeah, you'll put it there. But for the most part, there's only one place to put rental income from, you know, a situation like that, and that is on the Schedule E.
Okay, yeah, because the two things are separate, so I appreciate your time and clarification on the issue. Thank you so much.
Lily, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question about your taxes, give us a call. I have a question, Teddy. As I mentioned before the break, how do you know when you're being audited? How does the IRS notify you?
Mm-hmm. You will be notified by mail, and it will specify what the IRS's, and you can imagine me putting this in air quote, concerns are.
Mm-hmm.
And they've changed quite a bit over the last 6-7 years or so ago. No, it's been longer than that, more like 8-10 years, where a lot of times now they do a correspondence audit, which means you don't have to show up in their office and they're not going to show up in yours, and you just have to keep things going by mail. But generally speaking, the first contact you're going to receive from them if you're being audited is by letter.
What is the most common concern during an audit?
Believe it or not, employee business expenses. You know what? I'm glad you asked me that question, because there has been a lot of fraud being perpetrated in the it's the Schedule A down where it says miscellaneous expenses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Schedule A itemized deductions. If you have a Schedule A itemized deductions and you have expenses down in that section, I want you to ask yourself, do I incur expenses in order to do my job? do I incur expenses in order to do my job? If that answer is no, you probably should not have anything down in that miscellaneous employee unreimbursed employee business expenses section, miscellaneous deductions expenses. You should probably not have anything in there if you do not incur any kind of expenses. But that is the most, and I mean, I have seen some egregious fraud, and I don't even know. Look, egregious fraud, maybe that's redundant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen it get really, really bad to the point where the tax advisor began to do that with everybody who came in, and eventually the tax advisor's office was shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, certainly makes sense. So if, for example, the deductions, those business-related deductions, are legitimate, but you still get an audit letter. How do you go about rectifying the situation with the IRS?
I highly recommend, and I'm going to give our listeners a website in just a couple seconds, so get your ink pens ready. I highly recommend that you hire an enrolled agent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody's going to say, well, why an enrolled agent? Why not an attorney? Why not a CPA? Every enrolled agent, and underline the word every enrolled agent has the ability to represent you, and has the legal license, I should say, first of all, to represent you before the Internal Revenue Service. And the enrolled agent is specifically trained in these matters. If you get any other tax professional, maybe they know how to represent you, maybe they don't. And that's not a, you know, that's not a derisive comment or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact. Enrolled agents will represent you. So here's the website. I want our listeners to go to naea.org. Let me say it again. naea.org. It is the National Association of Enrolled Agents. You can go to the site and it'll say how to find a tax expert or something to that effect. You can type in your socials, your zip code, and what will come up is every enrolled agent in or near your zip code. That is a fantastic tool. I strongly suggest that if you really need, and I am an enrolled agent, if you really feel that you need an enrolled agent, somebody to represent you, if you're in tax trouble, if you haven't filed for a number of years, that's where you want to go. NAEA.org and hire an enrolled agent, and you will be satisfied. I can tell you that right now. If you owe, you owe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably nothing any enrolled agent or anybody else can do about it, but I guarantee you, your matters will be handled properly.
And, of course, I'll make sure that I post that website on the Daily Drum page of WHUR.com. Also, information, a website to reach out to Teddy the Tax Man, HVRetirements.com. That's HV as in Hunt Valley, Retirements.com.
Yes, so, and make sure you put the S on the end of retirement.
Exactly. So when everyone's asking, where's my refund, how do they find out? Let's say, for example, if you're in Maryland and you're looking for your state refund or wherever you happen to be, and you're trying to figure out where your federal refund is and you've not received it. So how do I find out?
Yeah. There is a tool. Let's start with Maryland. You can go to marylandtaxes.com, and when you get to that homepage, it will say something to the effect of, where's my refund, or do you want to find out the status of your refund? If you are looking for your federal refund, you go to irs.gov, and there is a tool that says, where's my refund? This is what you'll need. You'll need to know what your refund is. Obviously, you'll need to type in your Social Security number, and you'll need to type in your filing status, whether it's single, married filing jointly, qualifying widower, married filing separately, or whatever the case may be. You type that in, and that should alarm you or alert you as to the status of your refund.
Here's another question. I'm sure you know that there are many co-parenting situations with minor children.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best recommendation for claiming a child when the parents are divorced?
Yeah. Back in 1996, 21 years or so ago, the IRS put a stop to certain things. and one of them was they gave the custodial parent, that's the parent with whom the child lives, they gave the custodial parent the right to claim the child always. And so now the custodial parent has to say to the non-custodial parent, yes, I will allow you to claim this child this year or next year or whatever the case may be. I strongly recommend, and I know it's during some tough times, because not all the time are the breakups civil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why the breakups occur. So, but I strongly recommend that when you're going in for your divorce, that you put that in the divorce decree. If you put that in the divorce decree and you say that custodial parent can claim in every odd year, then, you know, that's the way it's going to be. Those generally don't supersede the tax laws, but that's a great place to start. And that's a great question, by the way, because there's a lot of those situations going on right now. The bottom line is work it out with the other parent and go from there.
There you go. Teddy the Tax Man, Teddy Prelo, always a pleasure. Try to get some sleep. I know you're going to be busy between now and tomorrow and in the following days. And certainly, if you're interested in reaching out to Teddy, you can find him online at hvretirements.com. That's HV as in Hunt Valley, retirements.com. And, of course, that information, including information about finding an enrolled agent, will be posted on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. Again, Teddy, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. You take care.
All righty. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, April 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. You